And welcome into another edition of Let's Get Local. Normally we're in the Solidarity Realty Studios. We're in a different studio today recording with our friend Buzz from Audio for the Arts. We'll be with him in just a minute. Before we get to that, we have to thank our sponsors for the program. The reason we get to be here and tell these stories about local businesses, local owners, local nonprofits, and events. So a big thank you to Ula Eyewear, the team, Brittany and Margot, and the team over at Ula Eyewear. You can check them out at Hilldale Shopping Center, ulaeyewear.com. Great place to get your next pair of glasses or sunglasses. Also, Evolution Financial, our friend Sue Peck, owner-founder of Evolution Financial. Sue, we've had her on the program many times. Always great to talk with her. If you are looking for services, evolutionfinplan.com, the best way to reach out and schedule online directly with Sue Peck of Evolution Financial. And lastly, our friends at Forward Thai Boxing. Brendan, Abby, the team, you can learn self-defense, Krav Maga, or you can do some competitive Muay Thai if you're interested. However you would like to, you can get in shape, physical activity, join a team, join a community at Forward Thai Boxing. Their brand new facility with a boxing ring inside is on Rimrock Road. So check them out at ForwardThaiBoxing.com.
Did you do all that from memory?
Yeah.
That's amazing because I'm thinking he's not even looking at his notes over here. Like, what's the deal, dude? That's great.
My sponsors, I remember Buzz 100%.
Cool. Excellent.
Buzz Kemper is with us now from Audio for the Arts. Hey. Happy to finally catch up with you and have you on the show. How are you?
I'm great. And I'm you know, I can't believe it's taken us this long, but thank you for, yeah, I mean, I went to the breakfast thing and we chatted and thank you for doing this. It's a great service.
Well, I love to be here in your space. Now, the only problem for me is that, you know, a lot of people compliment me on my voice on the radio, but now compared to you, it's not quite to that level. But hey, we'll have a fun conversation here today. It's Buzz. Now, Buzz, tell us a little bit about Audio for the Arts. It's your baby. You started it in 1996.
Yeah.
Give us the overview.
Yeah. So I moved here originally to Madison from Greeley, Colorado. And what was interesting about that was that it's the only time when I was in Greeley, that was the only time I had a job where I did absolutely no engineering at all. I was strictly a radio announcer. And it was kind of fun because I was, you know, kind of a local celebrity, and you know, it was kind of fun to go into the grocery store and I'd say, hey, which aisle is the bread in? They'd go, oh my god, you're Buzz Kemper. It was kind of fun. But I moved here to take a job with Wisconsin Public Radio, and they mainly needed an engineer, and so I was recording all these different ensembles for public radio. And one day, remember, I think it was a string quartet, but you know, it might have been some other small classical ensemble, but came up to me and said, hey, I really love the recording you made of our, you know, this quartet that we're in for public radio. We want to make a commercial recording. Can we hire you? And I said, well, I don't own any gear, but you know, let me see what I can do. And I went to my local banker and I just said, you know, hey, you know, what would you think about loaning me like 10, 12 grand? I want to buy a little, it's kind of a simple on location recording rig. And yeah, I had no idea what I was in for, because all of a sudden I was doing public radio and this freelance thing, and the freelance thing turned into Audio for the Arts. And I remember asking my friend Tom Blaine, I said, what do I call my company? And it was so funny because he does this once in a while. I was agonizing for weeks. And he said, Audio for the Arts, that's what you're going to call it. And I said, okay, done. And over the pandemic, we've gotten into video. We can talk about that. But yeah, it's just grown and grown. And now we're up to 7 people. And we're actually a majority woman company right now. I and Audrey Martinovich are the two owners, but we now have 4 women and 3 men. So we're bucking the trend.
That's awesome. It's great to hear that story too. Just, you know, you really never know what can happen unless you take those chances or make yourself say yes to those opportunities, right? That's kind of the thing.
Yeah.
We're talking with Buzz Kemper, Audio for the Arts, the website audioforthearts.com, audioforthearts.com to learn more. Buzz, I love how you started into this, but you mentioned public radio. Now, you started out, I did a little research on you. You started out Minnesota Public Radio, is that correct?
I did. And this is, I went to this trade school. There used to be a school here in Madison that people may remember. It's been out of business for a little while, but it was called Madison Media Institute. There was a similar school in Minneapolis called Brown Institute, and they basically taught you how to be a DJ. You know, so, you know, you'd walk out of there talking like this. You know, it was very funny. But the placement director asked me, you know, hey, when you graduate, where do you want to work? And I said, I really want to work at Minnesota Public Radio. And he said, well, that's not going to happen. I mean, dude, you're 18 years old. You have no experience. He said, start small and work your way up. And I just wanted to prove him wrong. So knowing that it's not always what you know, it's who you know, I literally started hanging out at Minnesota Public Radio. And eventually, and they kind of liked me, and they would show me around and say, hey, look at this new thing we bought. You know, look at this new microphone. And one day the chief engineer kind of, you know, half, you know, with kind of a half wink and a nod, he said, you are hanging out here all the time, Kemper. Do you want to just work here? And I said, yes, actually I do. And they hired me on the spot. And so I started working for Prairie Home Companion with Garrison Keillor. And I started working, recording the Minnesota Orchestra and the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra and all kinds of choral groups and pipe organ stuff. I mean, people who've been in the business 50 years would die to be able to do the stuff I was doing when I was 19. It was great.
Wow. What a way to, just jump right into it. An incredible experience for you. But you've been in Madison for quite some time, like you talked about. Audio for the Arts is the business here that you've kind of grown with over the last couple of decades. Yeah. Talk about some of the projects you're doing now and things that continue to grow and build with Audio for the Arts.
Well, we have the best clients. I mean, it's absolutely unbelievable. Almost every choral group in the area works with us. We record orchestras from the Madison Symphony, the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra. I've done sound design for Madison Opera. My business partner Audrey has worked with a number of different ensembles, and you know, both like classical and jazz. And she's also really good with rock and hip hop and stuff like that. I'm the old guy who, you know, like when somebody wants to do a lot of MIDI stuff and a lot of sampling and a lot of, you know, like tuning and stuff like that, I always say, you know, talk to the 30-year-old. You know, I'm kind of not that guy. But we have a great breadth and depth of ages and backgrounds and experience. And so anybody who comes in here is going to get, you know, a great engineer. And it's not necessarily going to be me or Audrey. It might be Noah Gilfillan. It might be Stephanie Benicek. It might be Maggie Gilfillan. Our newest hire is Tori Neal. She was an intern for 2 months, and we're like, we can't possibly let you leave. So you're working here now. So yeah, it's been great.
One thing with the business too, I think, that's really unique is you talk about your team and how diverse it is, and you can cover a lot of ground there, and adapt to a lot of different clientele.
Yeah.
But the expertise that you bring with your experience and the history you have in the industry, I think, how many of these young people have you trained and helped and watched them grow? What's that been like for you to kind of bring along a younger generation to kind of pass that information on?
It's great, but, you know, counterintuitively, and I figured this out with
I'm sure you learned from them too,
well,
right?
Well, exactly. That's the thing, right? Is that I will spend maybe, you know, 2 or 3 months, you know, sort of training somebody in, like, you know, here's the proper way to wind a mic cable. And usually within 6 months, I'm going to them and saying, how did you just do that thing on the computer that I didn't even know we could do? And they'd be like, oh, you just go here and go to this menu and pull this. And, you know, so it is absolutely great. And here, you know, age and wisdom are not necessarily correlated. So, yeah, I mean, I take the Socratic, you know, view that the wisest among us is he who realizes how ignorant they really are. And that's kind of where I am. But it's the same in my rock climbing, my hobby. You know, I have trained people, taught people how to rock climb. And 6 months later, they're climbing stuff that I couldn't even get 5 feet up, you know, so it's great.
It's an interesting time to just kind of see how much things have changed and evolved, right? You've been through that. Yeah. I'm sure you remember the old days, cutting tape and, cutting with a razor blade, taping things together. Yeah. Editing's so different, all the capacity of equipment. There's a lot to continue to learn and grow with in the industry, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. There is a lot to learn. And you get to the point, I'm 66 now, and I still want to stay with it for a while, but there are certain technologies now that are more interesting for me to learn than others. And so some of the stuff I've just, kind of let my colleagues. So a great example of that is that the way we got through the pandemic, which we got through with flying colors, was we figured out early on that the way artists and audiences were going to connect was going to be via video. So we bought, with no gigs coming in and no income coming in and wondering if we were all going to end up applying at Taco Bell, we dropped 10 grand on video equipment, kind of a Hail Mary pass. And our second video contract was to do digital opera in the park for Madison Opera. Huge contract, a lot of work, a lot of money. And everybody just stepped up to the plate. I'm the only one in my company who doesn't know how to run a video camera. I just decided, I'm just going to stay the audio guy. I'm the dog who can learn a few new tricks, but I don't want to learn that one. Everybody else who came to us, came to Audrey and I and said, I really want to do audio. I love your company. I really want to work for your company. And we hired them. And we said, now you're kind of going to be a video person. And they're like, throw it at me, I'm good. And they've all just totally risen to the occasion. Yeah, I can't praise my team enough.
Well, talk about the adjustments and things people made during COVID, during the pandemic to kind of evolve their business. That's a great one for you guys. And providing that service and connection, like you said, it kind of comes from that spot where you still know people want to experience those type of events. You're able to still do that.
Yeah, and the fact that our clients trust us to that degree. We were literally in a position of saying, hi, 2 weeks ago, we didn't even own a camera or know where the on-off switch was. And now we're asking you for $20,000 to do a big video project. And they're like, hey, if it's you guys, it's going to be great. And so we're really lucky. We are really lucky, but we also have worked for that reputation.
We got to cut to a break here on Let's Get Local. We'll come back on the other side more with Buzz Kemper.
You ain't got no responsibility.
Back here on Let's Get Local, Jason Hafeman, your host, sitting in with Buzz Kemper here for the second half of the program today. Buzz, okay, I got to throw a couple of questions at you because you are a gear person. Tell me, what's your go-to microphone? What's some of the older equipment that you still fall back to even with all these advancements?
That's a great question. And I remember lecturing a recording class one time and they said, what's the best vocal microphone? And my answer was, if you find an engineer who can answer that, don't hire that person. Because that's like asking Picasso, what's the best color? Right? What are you trying to paint? Right? What's the context? So I have a bunch of go-to microphones. One I will, praise to the skies is we early on got on board with a company called Audio Engineering Associates, and they made a stereo ribbon mic, sort of a modern version of a very old technology. And we bought it, again, a little bit of a risk, but we have serial number 44. So we were very early off the line with that. And that's been a really wonderful kind of go-to because you can use it on a string quartet. You can put it on our grand piano and it sounds great. I've had people play saxophone into it. It has this warm, it has that ribbon sound, which I liken to the taste of dark chocolate, dark and creamy. Yeah.
Talking with Buzz Kemper here, Audio for the Arts, the website audioforthearts.com. Buzz giving us some insight into his business and also just kind of the world of sound engineering and everything else. Mm-hmm. Buzz, when I walked in today, you were you're recording books, right? So tell us a little bit about those projects.
Yeah, I do. You know, yeah, that's the other thing is I feel so fortunate. I get hired to do voiceover work. And so I am narrating a trilogy of audio books. They are science fiction books by a guy named John Markestad, who I met rock climbing, you know, and he's like, yeah, I'm an author. I said, oh, you know, I'm an engineer and a voice guy. And he goes, I need somebody to narrate my books. I said, I'll do it. He goes, okay. And he threw money at me and I'm doing it. And I also am the events announcer for American Family Insurance. And in July, they are flying me to Hawaii because they have an event there. So, I mean, I just have so many awesomely wonderful gigs. It's insane. So yeah, I feel kind of like as Mary Chapin Carpenter once said, sometimes you're the windshield and sometimes you're the bug. And I get to be the windshield most of the time.
Well, it seems like you're having fun doing what you're doing for sure. And you and I talked too, you know, people, mentioned to you, oh, well, you think about retirement, and your response was what?
I've known people. And everybody who's listening to this, I want you to, like, if you take nothing else away from this interview, take this away, that I have known people who cross off the days on their calendar because they hate their job and they can't wait to retire. If you're working, you know, and a lot of people who are members of Dane by Local and who listen to this program, you're probably small business people. You're probably doing something because it's your passion. Just don't forget to be grateful for that, because the person stocking shelves at Walmart is not as happy as you, and probably, and we have that in common. So that's a beautiful thing.
You mentioned Dane by Local, Buzz. You've been actively involved, helping out all the time with the group. why was that so important for you?
It's important because I realized that, first of all, I am a local business owner, obviously, so there's a little bit of a selfish aspect of it. But when I was a kid, you know, my dad was a pharmacist, and he owned this little store called Kemper Drug in Elk River, Minnesota. And he taught me so many things. I mean, we could go on for an hour about this stuff, but he was genuinely a people person. He really cared about people. He remembered people's names. Somebody would walk in who hadn't been in the store for 3 months, and he would say, "Hi, Sarah, how you doing? How's Bob? How's Rover? You know, the dog." I mean, you know, he just knew everything about everybody, and he loved his job. And when it came time for him to retire, several big chains offered to buy him out and for good money, and he kept saying, "No, I'm selling to a family. I want it to stay a family business." And I just that's just kind of in my blood, and so it means a lot to me when, you know, like if there's a coffee shop two blocks down from the big national chain, I'm gonna go the extra two blocks and buy the coffee from the mom and pop shop, because it just, the money stays local. These people are doing something that they love. They're paying their people well. You know, hopefully they're I think they generally are in there because they love it, and they're not just trying to, you know, they're not owned by a bunch of investors who just want to suck as much money out as they can. And it's worth supporting, and it's worth being a part of, and it makes me feel part of a community.
Last thing, Buzz,
long answer.
Before we... No, it's good. I mean, your passion is welcomed, and we appreciate that. And we talk about it all the time on this show. Before we go with our time with you, just tell people, if they're interested in reaching out, what's some of the best ways to connect with Audio for the Arts if they have a project or want to get connected?
Yeah. So if you email the letters AFA, and this is all lowercase, that stands for Audio for the Arts, at audioforthearts.com, and that's all just spelled out and run together, then that email will come to all of us. And whoever is available or is most qualified to answer your question or take on your project will answer it. And that's the absolute, you know, best way to do it. You know, you can call us. We're so old-fashioned, we still have a telephone. It's 608-255-0511. Call now. Operators are standing by. I don't know. I had to say that. But the email is probably the best. But if you go to the Audio for the Arts website, there's a way to contact us there. And that tells you kind of what we're about. We are one of the very few studios, I think one of two studios in town, that actually has a real grand piano. So if you're interested in that sound, you know, we got that covered. And yeah, just let us know what you need. We'll either take care of it or we'll send you to a competitor who's better at it than we are.
Always taking care of people here at Audio for the Arts. That's Buzz Kemper. Buzz, we could do a whole show with you. But
love it.
Great talking with you. Thanks so much for the time. Thanks for being involved in the community like you are.
Yeah, thank you. And I want to thank Ava Lewin, by the way, who's engineering. She's our intern. She's engineering this. So there you go. She's in the hot seat.
Thanks to Ava, too. Check them out at audioforthearts.com. Audioforthearts.com. This is Let's Get Local. We'll be back in just a minute.
But I know change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will.
And back here on the big show, Let's Get Local. So glad you're with us here today once again, hearing stories about local businesses, local organizations, and local events. And we've got some events to talk about here yet the second half of the show. One from one of our fun sponsors, Forward Tie Boxing. They have an event today. It is competitive Muay Thai fighters, people that have been from different parts of the country and different parts of the state coming together today. It's fun. It's exciting. And you still have a chance to get over to Forward Thai Boxing and see it and participate. So it happens today, 1 o'clock. You can learn from professional Muay Thai fighters if you're interested in this. You can register at the door. You can still register in advance. Head to ForwardTieBoxing.com, but I know there are a few spots left, so grab one of them now. Head over to Forward Tie Boxing on Rimrock Road, check in with Abby, tell her Jason sent you from Let's Get Local, and tell her you want to check out this Muay Thai seminar going on today over at Forward Tie Boxing, 1 p.m. All right, you've only got 90 minutes to get there, so figure it out. Okay, now, we also want to thank, since we're talking about our sponsors, the Center for Black Women. The Progress Center, Sabrina Madison, has been so active, doing so many good things, and we thank you for supporting the show. You can check out more about her work and the team's work at centerforblackwomen.org. That's centerforblackwomen.org. Again, the Progress Center right here in Madison. What a great organization. And one more sponsor just to let you know about. That's our friends at Madison Top Company. Madison Top, they can brand anything for you. 50 years in business. Aaron, Megan, Julia. The whole team at MadisonTopCompany.com. Check them out at MadisonTop.com. MadisonTop.com. All right, it's time to talk outdoor landscaping. And our friend Kayla Sipple is back with us from South Central Landscapes. Kayla, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. Thanks for having me back on.
It's great to talk with you and catch up with you. You and Tyler have been running this small business, but you've been running it efficiently and been busy, right? So South Central Landscapes, tell people about it.
Yeah, we are a small business based in Cambridge. So we're about 30 minutes east of Madison. We specialize in hardscaping. So think things like patios, retaining walls, outdoor kitchens. We also do a lot of water management work. And this is our busiest time of year.
That water management work that you talk about is so important. I mean, look, we if you've owned a house, if you've been in a building where there's ever been water intrusion, water damage, can be really difficult to deal with and also just really deflating, especially if it's your home and you have property damage and other things. So that is such important work. I know that's not the pretty stuff all the time or the sexy stuff, but that's really important work that you guys do.
Yeah, most certainly. We have been noticing over the last couple of years that water management issues have increased in numbers. We also see a lot of water management work for properties that are around lakes. So a lot of the lakes in the greater Madison area have different zoning restrictions where if you want to add, let's say, a patio in your backyard, you have to recapture that rainwater that's being displaced when you put the patio in. So those are kind of things to consider as well. But yes, most certainly the water management field is certainly an important one.
Yeah, like you guys take all those factors into account, know what you need to do in order to make that work. So it's not just as simple as going out and adding something. If you do, I think that's one thing, whenever any type of renovation, whether it's home renovation or landscaping, when you are making a change to something or renovating a space, that changes how things work. Like in this case, how water flows or where water goes. And so it's really important and critical that it's done properly, or you can create problems for yourself.
Yes, I would totally agree. It's very important to choose a contractor that is experienced and that has the ability and the capability to take on the scope of work that you're looking to have done. In the state of Wisconsin, actually, it's a little odd. Landscaping is one of the only trades here that doesn't really have any type of formal certification process. And oftentimes, municipalities don't require permitting for new landscaping installs. So I think that even without that regulation in place, it's even more important to do your research when choosing a contractor that's honest and trustworthy, but also that has the experience and the capabilities to perform the work that you're looking to have done.
We're talking with Kayla over at South Central Landscapes. The website is sclandscapeswi.com. Kayla, with that thing you just mentioned, I think it's so critical and so important. You have to find somebody that is reputable, someone you can trust, someone who has the experience and the knowledge of how to do things properly. And I'm just gonna plug you, because you guys worked at our house. You did a fantastic job with our backyard, and everything looks amazing and is still holding up wonderful. So I will just personally say South Central Landscapes, a business and company you can trust.
Well, I really appreciate the kind feedback. It was so awesome to be able to connect with you through Dame by Local, really support the organization. And I'm so glad to hear that you're happy with how everything turned out.
So tell people, Kayla, about some of the projects you guys have been working on that you've got on the slate coming up here. I know it's going to be a busy summer, and busy season always is in the landscaping business. So what do you have on the table?
Yeah, so we've got a lot of hardscaping jobs up on our roster this year. Historically speaking, we tend to do a lot of retaining walls. I would say that's probably about 60-65% of the work that we do is retaining walls alone. So it's either installation of new retaining walls. Most often it's failing retaining walls. Maybe they're 30 years old and they weren't installed properly, or perhaps they're even newer than that and just weren't installed properly for whatever reason. A properly installed retaining wall should last your whole lifetime. Just a heads up there. But we've got a lot of retaining walls as usual on our roster. I would say paver patios are our second most popular service offering. So between patios and walls, we've got a lot of those booked out for the season so far.
And I know part of, you know, the idea of oftentimes people doing something with a space. Now, if you're looking at fixing something like that, that might have issues like a retaining wall, that's one thing. But also some people look at their backyard and they have no idea what to do, Kayla. And so they need design help or design consulting. You guys have that as well as part of your portfolio and your services, which I think is really helpful to a lot of people that maybe don't know what they want or how spaces can really look.
Most certainly. I find a lot of people really need that visualization to help understand what we're proposing. So our landscape architect is able to draft plans. We can do full 3D renderings and full modelings, even as advanced as video walkthroughs of the space. But oftentimes just getting kind of like a 2D site plan on paper really helps the client to visualize really what their space can transform into.
We're talking with Kayla Sipple with South Central Landscapes. Again, the website, sclandscapeswi.com. That's sclandscapeswi.com. Kayla, so another thing you guys have kind of been involved in, you kind of take this in a number of directions, but obviously working on a lot of existing homes. I see that you also offer new construction landscaping opportunities. So if there are builders out there listening to this program, want to connect with a local company, they have the opportunity to reach out to you as well.
Yep, most certainly. We have a handful of builders and production builders also that we work with. to do new home installs, which often includes things like grass seed, sod, typically includes the installation of the planting bed, so the edging, any kind of mulch or stone mulch that's needed around the property, sometimes retaining walls, things like that. So we certainly have the capabilities to do the new lawn and new home install as well.
One thing so many people really enjoy too is kind of making an outdoor space more than just having a, you know, grill on their patio. So there are some really cool pictures that you have and projects you've done with some of these outdoor kitchen projects. Tell people a little bit of what kind of all goes into that and what's possible if they really want to transform their outdoors.
Sure. Outdoor kitchens are my personal favorite projects. Really anything is possible. The sky is truly the limit. So we can do really anything from as small and compact of an area to very large kind of grand outdoor kitchen areas with pergolas and fireplaces and separate lounge areas. Really, you know, your imagination is kind of the limit there. I really do like those. They're very engaging. They tend to take a lot of creativity on our part, which I think is really interesting. I love to be able to work with our architect on the design process and just really nail in those final details. I think an outdoor kitchen really provides a lot of, it's really a great opportunity to entertain and just to enjoy the home that you're in. So I do love the outdoor kitchens. They're certainly not our most popular service offering just because they do tend to be a little bit higher on the price end there, but we love our outdoor kitchens.
Well, I see you certainly have the experience and the abilities to transform some outdoor spaces like that. So I wanted to make sure people were aware of that service offering that you have. Now, all of this can only be possible because of your team. So tell us a little bit about how you guys work. It's a small but mighty team, correct?
Yes, we are a small but mighty team. We've got Tyler, my business partner who founded the company. He splits his time between administrative and estimating duties and in the field. He most certainly prefers to be in the field working alongside our crews. And that is typically where you can find him Monday through Fridays. Usually on Saturdays, he's doing estimating. Right now, I am the only full-time person in the office. I handle kind of all the back-end administration of the company. You know, bookkeeping, accounts payable, tax management. I also do all the project managing and the receptionist, pretty much the janitor, anything else you need, you can give me a call. I can probably handle it for you. We do have a new project manager who's going to be starting with us in the month of June. So that's going to be a big help to me just because unfortunately I don't have unlimited time. I really wish I did. But that's going to be awesome to help us out here and make sure that we can get back to everybody as quickly as possible. And then our field team, they are really the people who are so integral to our company and they make everything happen. We've got a small group of very tenured staff who have been with us. I guess our newest employee has been with us for a little bit over a year. Everyone else has been with us for 3 to 5+ years. So we do, our team has really stuck around for a long time. We really value them. We think if we treat them, you know, well, and we provide them with the opportunity to work on really interesting, engaging projects, they're really happy and they want to stay. And like I said, they are the most important part of our team. They make everything happen. So small team here, but we work really well together and it's a great place to be.
It says a lot about those people staying with your team, about the atmosphere, the environment, and the way you guys work. So I think enough said there. Caleb, if people are interested in reaching out because they want to learn more, they might want to have you do an estimate on their project, or they might want to just need some help with some of the things that you guys can provide, what are the best ways to reach out?
Most certainly. Our website is definitely our number one place that we like to push people to contact us. There's all of our contact information listed on the website if you prefer to call us or email us. But there is also a form on the website where you can fill out your information and submit it to us. That form actually goes directly to me, so I see that. And that is the best way to get in contact with us. I will follow up with you via email. Of course, you can call. Try to get to every single phone call as best as I can. Typically, I am usually just sitting behind my desk Monday through Friday most days, but occasionally I do have to step out of the office and go to the field, do meetings, etc. And occasionally I will miss calls. So if that happens, please do leave a message and I'll get back to you as soon as possible.
So head to the website, www.sclandscapeswi.com. It's sclandscapeswi.com. Kayla, thanks so much for joining us again today. Thanks for providing a great service in our community and for everything you guys do there at South Central Landscapes.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Jason. It was a pleasure to be back with you.
Always good talking with Kayla and South Central Landscape. There's the team there. Again, it's sclandscapeswi.com. We'll talk with Rowan Childs of Madison Reading Project about their Ready to Wear event right after this. Welcome back for the last piece of Let's Get Local here on this Saturday, June 10th. So we are getting excited. We told you there are going to be more events to talk about. We talked about the Ford Thai Boxing event happening today. It is Muay Thai, competitive boxing. You can learn all about it. It's really fun. But you can also, if you're interested in other things, we've got other events too. And Rowan Childs is back with us here on the show to tell us about Madison Reading Project and their event coming up on the 14th. Rowan, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you very much for having us on.
Of course. I always appreciate talking to you. I know it's been a busy year, let's just say that. So give our listeners kind of a recap, an update on where things stand with Madison Reading Project, then we'll talk about your event coming up too.
Yeah, absolutely. So this, let's see, 2023, what has happened with Madison Reading Project? We've decided for our year, we're hoping to provide over 100,000 books this year. And those are always, of course, free to kids. So we're really just trying to make sure that we're all organized and gearing up for the summer. School's getting out, so it's sort of get our book bus schedule is solid for the entire summer and trying to fit in all those other requests. And we love to do that and give kids that exciting book experience. And then our other exciting news is that we are fundraising for book bus number 2, because our current bus is such a hit, we want to be able to go to more than one place at a time and bring more books and make it more accessible for everybody to be able to board that second bus. So we are busy doing that as well. So thank you for the question.
So as the person who founded and started this, how do you feel right now? I mean, these things have taken off. You left other things you were doing. Now you're working strictly at Madison Reading Project, right? Isn't that correct? Like, talk mm-hmm. about the journey and how you've gotten there.
Yeah. I had this memory pop up on my Facebook a month ago, and it was a Dame by Local event, and Colin was there, and Dave Heidi and I. And it was really, really fun to see how far we've all grown from that time period. Dame by Local is one of those very first organizations that I joined when I started Madison Reading Project and was really trying to network and learn more about other businesses and other organizations. So it's definitely fun to sort of think now, 9 years later, where we're all at. And Madison Reading Project has grown immensely in what we're doing and the quality of books that we're providing, as likewise as our sort of method of doing that and the quality of the books that we're able to give to kids, and our staff and our location likewise as well. So it's pretty awesome to see an idea that you've come up with spread so quickly in some ways, and that we're doing some good out in the communities. So that's a fun question to answer.
All right, we've got one bus. We're shooting for two, getting the number two going here soon. But along the way, you've also found some really fun ways to help raise money, right, and do some good things in the community. So tell us about the event coming up on June 14th.
Absolutely. So it is a design competition. So we challenge really anyone locally if they want to create fashion out of paper, and they compete on the catwalk. So they know the challenge, you know, several months in advance. They can use they need to use up to 90% paper, and it can be any kind of paper they have. So whether it's used envelopes, sandwich wrappers, photos, blueprints, newspaper, magazines, book pages, you know, really whatever it is. And it might be correlate to the business or the organization that you're part of. It might just be an amazing outfit made out of paper. It's really fun. Every year, the teams blow me away as to what they've created. And then obviously someone's modeling it as well. And it's super fun. It's at the Sylvie this year, so a bigger venue, and we have over 20 teams competing. It's our biggest design class ever. So we're really thankful for the amount of people that wanted to compete and be part of this fundraiser. So they compete, they're out on the catwalk, and of course, the winner will receive a paper crown and sash, and of course, bragging rights for the next year. but there are still tickets available, so you can come out, watch the show. You will not be bored. You will be highly entertained. So every model that comes out gets sort of a huge applause, because not only are those probably someone that you know up there, but just, you know, it's definitely the guts to get out on stage and let everyone know all about your creation that you've got on, and, you know, try and be the winning team. So it's a really fun event. There's teams that are corporate teams, nonprofits, student teams, that we've kind of got all different ages and groups that have represented. So do come out and support Madison Reading Project.
The event is ready to wear. Again, June 14th at the Sylvie, and the website, madisonreadingproject.com, madisonreadingproject.com. You can get tickets right there and experience this. Rowan, you've got a really fun panel of judges, too, for this year.
Yeah.
Talk about them real quick.
Yeah, so our celebrity judges help us narrow down from the 20 down to 3, and then the audience, everyone in the audience gets to vote with their phone. So it's fun. Everybody counts. And the judges this year, we have DJ Hines from Milwaukee, Julie Wonderellen as well as a paper artist from Milwaukee. Brahma is a fashion designer. Sabrina Madison, one of our alders. Now I've got to like rattle them off in my head. Jeff Mack, and then Marissa Mosley from UW basketball too. So definitely some fun people who love fashion and paper and also community.
That is Rowan Childs here with Madison Reading Project. Rowan, thanks so much for telling us about your event and giving us some updates on where things stand with the project. And also remember, you know, look for those bus, the opportunities to donate to help get the second bus later in the year. But what you should do right now is head to Madison Reading Project, get your tickets for Ready to Wear. It is June 14th. At the Sylvie. Tickets are on sale now. You can get them right away.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Jason.
That's Rowan, and that is Let's Get Local for this week. Thanks for tuning in. Before we go, let's say a big thank you to our sponsors once again, Forward Tie Boxing. You can check them out at forwardsideboxing.com. Easy Office Products, Gary and Rose Moles. Head to easyop.com to make your life easy for office products, shopping and purchasing and delivery. They deliver to your house. The Progress Center for Black Women, Sabrina Madison and team. Again, Sabrina, one of the celebrity judges over at Ready to Wear at the event. And you can find out more about their work at centerforblackwomen.org. Ula Eyewear, Brittany, Alia, and Margot, and everyone over at Ula Eyewear and Hilldale Shopping Center. Thank them for sponsoring the show. And Madison Top, your promotional experts for almost 50 years, madisontop.com. That's Let's Get Local. We'll catch you next week. Go local, buy local, be local. Be good. You choose. How can you lose with the stuff you use now?
gente, who the soccer team.